Hey, Ronnie, how did you meet your significant other?
Well, Ben, I was born with my palm, but I didn't really realize it was my significant other until I was about 16 years old and I was in the bathroom at Catholic school. We've been together ever since.
Aw.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah, almost
You know?
almost as sweet as a Sherry's berry.
Yum, how delicious. You know, I found that out because I was given Sherry's berries this week. And, you know, normally I wouldn't eat a berry. It's not my thing. But I opened this beautiful box with these big, gigantic, chocolate-covered, different flavored berries. And they look so delicious. And I said, these are for you, Hand. And it was like, no, I don't like strawberries. But it ate, picked one up and put it in my mouth. And we both just fell in love with Sherry's berries.
That's the most romantic story you've ever told, Ronnie.
I know, right? I don't like to talk about my personal life, but...
Well, guess what? You can get giant, freshly dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries starting at $19.99. That's over 40% savings. Or double the berries for just $10 more. You just need to use the code WATCH when you order. Once again, the code is WATCH. Just so you know, the strawberries are dipped in white and milk and dark chocolate, and they can be topped with chocolate chips and swizzle and nuts, and they're just, like, really good, apparently. In fact, I received a box of them, and I don't eat strawberries, so I gave them to our dear friend Lisa Timmins and also our friend Marcos, and they loved them. So, people, this is a good
deal.
I have to say,
because, you know, we do these Sherry's Berries commercials, and this time of year, every podcast is like, here's a Sherry's Berries commercial. Like, they really go hard. And I'm like, oh, whatever, berries, chocolate-covered berries. They're actually kind of amazing. They're gigantic.
Yes, that's what I
heard.
And
the strawberry is almost secondary. It's like they wrap a candy bar around a strawberry.
No, I mean, Lisa and Marcos were like, Ben, these are insane. They're like, what did we do for you to give us these? I was like, hey, enjoy.
Yeah, so, they're actually really good. Who knew?
Yeah. So here's the only way to get this amazing Valentine's Day deal. For just $19.99, you visit berries.com. That's berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right corner and type in WATCH.
What?
Go to berries.com, click on the microphone, and type WATCH.
What?
Hurry, offer ends on Thursday, people.
Thursday.
Password shots, Vanderpump rules. Come gather round and make fun of these fools.
A podcast of Bravo, nothing runs with Bravo.
When there's so much that happens.
Happens. Happens.
Happens. Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens? Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a show about all that crap on Bravo that we love. I'm Ben Mandelker from bsideblog.com. You can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at bsideblog, all one word. And joining me, as always, is my lovely and cherubic co-host, Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie.
Well, hello, Benjamin.
Hi. Ronnie can be found at trashtalktv.com, where he does hilarious recaps of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, among other things. You should all go check that out. And he's on Twitter at TrashTweetTV. Definitely, definitely, definitely check that out. And oh my goodness, we have an enormous podcast for you all today. There are, I mean, so many things that happen on Bravo. Fights, finales.
Yeah, there was a lot going on. And it actually worried me that everything's ending because I'm like, now what? Now what? I mean, we're going to have The Real Housewives of New York coming back soon, and then some show about Southern people, which I don't know if I can get behind that or not yet.
Yeah, we had – this is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We'll talk about Vanderpump Rules Reunion. We'll talk about part two of the Atlanta fight. We'll talk about part two of the Blood, Sweat, and Heels fight. We'll talk about the Shahs of Sunset, part two of their turkey trip. And, of course, we have to talk about the finale of Top Chef. We have so much to discuss, but before we do that, though – I actually want to give a shout out to two of our listeners, Eva and Vishal, because they got married over the weekend, and I want to say congrats to them.
Oh, nice.
I was lucky because I got to go to the wedding, and it was down in Laguna Beach, so it was very cool because I felt like the spirit of Vicky Gunvalson was coursing through me, so that was very special. I mean, yeah, the wedding was nice too, but more being close to Vicky was even nicer.
Happy wedding, guys.
Yeah, it was an amazing wedding. So congrats, guys. Congrats to two of our listeners who have now become married.
Oh.
So that's good. So that's a good thing. So now let's go on to something much more awful, which is the Vanderpump Rules reunion. Well, enough talking about relationships that are doing well. Let's talk about relationships that are falling apart with the Vanderpump
Rules. Yeah, let's talk about people who will never be happy because they're awful and they don't deserve to be. And that is the cast of Vanderpump Rules.
I'm telling you something, Ronnie. I can't even remember what happened on this reunion because there were so many like illogical statements made, so many accusations and stupid things that like my brain was like curling in on itself with this like Mobius strips of logic.
You know, at least all the shit show was in order so that I could remember it. The first thing that happened, which was just amazing, is when Andy was saying, you know how he says hi to everybody because he doesn't have anything else in his brain to say? Yeah. And he has to say, like, hi, Jax. Hi, Kristen. Hi, Stassi. Hi, Katie. Oh, Katie, you dyed your hair. And then Katie gives her monologue.
Yeah, that was...
Well, hilarious. You know, yeah, I did dye it. I mean, I did try it blonde, and then I tried it red. And, you know, I mean, I really like to try anything with my hair, like bangs or straight hair or, you know, hair and curls or, you know, wigs or weaves. I mean, I'll try anything. And, you know, so that's what I did. And I tried it out, and now I'm brunette. And, you know, now more of a Jennifer Aniston type of thing, but brunette. It's like, bitch, you did not just win an Oscar and nobody asked you a question.
No one asked you about your hair. No one, not a single person asked you what the source of your hair. She's like, oh, well, you know, Peter sometimes likes his hair red and orange and yellow, but you know, that's just the way he expresses himself.
Yeah, you know, Peter used to be a model. And when you're a model, it's like being an actor except in pictures. And so you have to be ready to do anything with your hair.
You know that Katie, for like months, has been waiting to clear the air about her hair. Ever since like the first like tweet appeared on the season premiere about like nice like day glow hair. You know, she's been waiting for this moment. She was like bursting. She's like, hi, good to see you. No, my hair's not normally like that. So now I'm like this. Now I'm goth.
You know, I think I'm one of the only people who didn't mind her hair. I think it, like, complimented her gum line. I don't know why I think that, but I just think it looked better with the red hair.
I didn't think it was, like, the worst thing in the world. People really objected to it. Women hated it the most, because I think that women appreciate what goes into a good dye job or a bleach job, and men don't always. And so women saw it, and they saw it for the cheap shit that it was, but for us, we're just like, okay. But honestly, I'm sitting here at my desk, and I went to a dermatologist recently, and he gave me, like, this, like, box. You know, like, when you go to a dentist, they give you a little bag of, like, to-go things? My dentist gave me, like, a box of, like, you know, suntan lotion and this and that. And I'm looking at the box. It's a box for Zolbar Zinc Sunscreen with transparent zinc oxide. And it's the exact color of Katie's hair.
Well, she's not going to get cancer on her head.
No, she will not. She's repelling it away.
Yeah, that zinc will definitely keep her. So then we find out that Stassi has quit.
Yes.
Sure. She after the show ended, her ass just left without telling anybody.
Yeah.
And Lisa was pissed that she basically put this girl on TV and didn't even get a thank you, darling.
Yeah. Thank you.
And I love that Stassi quit and she's just such a victim. All my friends did this to me. Yeah. Like, you watched the show, right?
Like, you created the monsters that are around you, by the way. You made everyone who works at CERB believe that they're entitled to something that they are not entitled to, whatever it may be.
And she's like, but I'm happy now because I'm dating a guy with a sports show. I'm like, you're not happy. And I can tell because you have white hair. Nobody with white hair on purpose is happy. Okay. Yeah. Nobody gets happy and then goes down and dyes their hair white.
And when Andy Cohen said that he liked it, he was lying through his shit eating teeth. There's no way any self-respecting gay would like that hair color.
Yeah, that's just, he's just doing his Andy thing.
She honestly is like, what?
Great, I like it. Oh, the weather's raining outside. What do you think, guys?
He almost sounds like Scooby-Doo. She honestly took like a step closer to looking like that crazy old lady in Witches of Eastwick, the one who had the cherries coming out of her mouth. Because she looks like her already, I have to say. She does. And, you know, this move by Stassi is a bold move. And, in fact, someone posted on our Facebook page. And, by the way, you all should follow us on Facebook. Facebook.com/WatchWhatCrappens. So that way you can get, like, a half-ass shout-out, like the one I'm about to give whoever posted this link. That Stassi is now floating the idea that she wants a spinoff. Like, there was an article, I think, in Us or OK or one of those, where she's like, you know, it's so funny, and now that I live in New York, people are like, oh, you can get your own spinoff, you can get your own spinoff. And I'm like, oh, that's such a good idea. So I really hope a producer contacts me, because that'd be great. I'm like, don't act like you didn't premeditate this, Stassi. And don't act like you're actually going to get a spinoff.
And don't act like Lisa's not trying to produce it, by the way.
Yeah.
Another thing, you know, I think that Stassi getting a spinoff really wouldn't be the worst thing to happen. I mean, why can't her evil to a restaurant when she could ruin an entire city, you guys. She could be the biggest terrorist attack since 9/11 to hit that city if they just put some cameras on it.
I know. I was gonna say she's the biggest thing to hit New York since Cloverfield. You can write that one down, Emmy Bourbano. Although Emmy hasn't done the quotes in like months, I feel like. It's true. Like, listen, New York City is very prepared for terrorist attacks, so if Stassi tries anything with her personality, she's going to be shut down immediately. She'll be shoved down a manhole.
Yeah, she's going to be kept down in the subway for hours on end while they cavity search her ass, just for the things she says.
I feel like she's going to have a moment like the end of Cats, where she's going to rise up on a tire and be sent off to someplace. You know? That was a little Broadway reference for all you people out there.
I really like that, with the gray hair, she's kind of Grisabella-y.
I was going to say Deuteronomy, but, you know, what do I know?
Oh, I guess they both did go up in the end.
I think that he delivered her, didn't he?
Oh, jeez. I can't believe we're terrible gays for not knowing that.
I am, like, determined to somehow make Stassi's narrative dovetail with Cats.
Jellicle cats are jellicle cats, and then jellicle cats fall on jellicle cats and cats and...
Memories, all my memories, I wish to be vanquished.
When I was a little kid, that the tour came to El Paso, Texas, and my parents took me, because of course I was like a little flaming Faggito Burrito musical theater kid. And so they're like, okay, I guess we'll take him to Cats. And they said, how do you like it? And I was like, I mean, that was kind of neat. And I was like, what do you think, Mom? And she's like, honestly, who wants to sit and watch fucking people act like cats for 3 hours? I mean, cats are disgusting. They fucking stink. And I was like, good point.
Your mom was Stassi before Stassi was even Stassi.
Yeah.
She's like, I would actually love to see the Vanderpump Rules cast go to New York and see a revival of Cats and then give their impressions. I can imagine Kristen, seriously?
Seriously?
Just Cats. Seriously? Seriously? Like, why'd that cat have to die at the end? Like, seriously? That cat was a good cat.
That cat was cheating on me.
Like, Tom and that cat cheated on me multiple times, for years on end. And, like, I've known Tom for 3 years, and Tom, you've only known that cat for, like, an hour and a half.
That cat goes shit in a litter box, and Tom, if Tom was in a litter box, he'd make out with Ariana in there, like, 100 times and, like, fuck her every day.
What a... When you say, like, Mr. Mistopheles, is that, like, a reference to Tom and Ariana? Because, like, that's not cool. Like, seriously? Seriously?
That song, Memory, reminded me of how Tom remembers fucking Ariana every day but won't say anything about it.
You know, Andrew Lloyd Webber, is that, like, a reference to Ariana's Web of Lies? Seriously? Seriously?
Seriously? She was so hilarious because even... I mean, the first time they showed her face on the reunion, she was like, you know,
she was. She had just like taken like a soccer ball to the gut.
Yeah, like her face was like back, pinched back, and like she was having double chin because her head was so far back and her eyes were rolling.
And her teeth are like a bunch of magnets, like with the poles all facing each other. So they're going in separate ways. They're magnetically repelled from each other. They're just like,
God, spreading. I wish we could put those words and make poetry on her teeth.
That I'll be like, seriously? Seriously? It'd just be like, if you have like Kristen magnetic poetry, you'd open up the box and all the only words are seriously. And your entire fridge is just seriously, seriously,
seriously, seriously, seriously, Tom,
wait,
seriously.
Maybe there's like a really, seriously, go fuck yourself. She was ready to start a fight with every single point. She was ready to start a fight. Like, even when it came up to the fact that she and Sheena are now friends, she's like, so is there anything wrong with that? Like, what's wrong with me and Sheena being friends? Like, that's fine, seriously.
Yeah, Sheena, I mean, speaking of cats, Sheena's job, I think, in the future is just going to, she's going to become one of those ladies who, like, gains a lot of weight after her first baby and stops wearing makeup and just starts running an animal shelter. And she's just going to take in little ugly dogs and cats and try her best and save them from getting the needle.
Because, by the way, this is not an insult, by the way. This is actually a step up from working at CERV.
Yeah.
This is like, yeah. This is like good for you. She, you know, when
every
you say
Friday
this, this
night
good.
When she goes to Chili's with Shay, she'll put on her gigantic eyelashes. So kiss the cats goodbye.
That's gonna be the name of her book. It's like, you know, Tuesdays with Maury. It's gonna be Chili's with Shay.
So today I went to Chili's.
He's so romantic. He got me the side salad for 99 cents extra. I mean, that takes a lot of thought for a guy to do that.
But then I was really mad because they seated us at a bar table, and those chairs are really high, and, like, I just got my teeth done. I didn't want to fall over.
I could have fallen off that chair. And you know what else? They put ice in my drink. And if I chewed that ice too hard, my tooth would hurt. You know, it took a year and a half. It's serious.
And, like, I can't see if the ice is too big because I still have this eye situation going on, so, like, it's really not cool of them to do that. I can only have shaved ice.
I accidentally ordered a Poomin Pom Pom, and they were like a bloomin' onion. And I was like, oh, my eyes.
I was going to try to follow that up, but I can't. I can't. Oh, my eyes. I love the idea of her being in Chili's and ordering a bloomin' onion, but thinking that she's ordering something else, and it comes, and she's shaking her fist. My eyes. My kingdom for an eye.
How did I order a pom pom?
I thought I ordered a poom poom pom pom, and I got a bloomin' onion, Stassi.
Well, let's give this to Katie, who's probably waiting in the car.
I know.
Still no one will talk
to be fair, Katie's hair did sort of have the shade of a bloomin' onion earlier this season.
Oh, not Katie. I meant Kristen. I still can't keep those horses apart.
Oh, horse face. Seriously? Yeah. Seriously? You think
I'll just stay in the crate because everybody in Chili's hates me. Just leave a window cracked and bring me some French fries.
Just bring me a Jack Daniel's steak with cornflake crust. Seriously? Seriously? I don't even like a bloomin' onion. Seriously? Ariana likes them. Fuck herself.
Those things open themselves up, just like Ariana did 5,000 times a day with my boyfriend.
Tom, I hope you like dipping your bloomin' onion into the tangy sauce, just like the way you dip your dick into Ariana's vagina. Seriously? Seriously? But Tom's a good lay. by the way, which is a direct quote?
Kristen Logic. It was hilarious.
It was out of control. Out of control. I mean, I honestly can't even remember. It just seemed like they were talking in circles for like 45 minutes, right? It was basically, there was a huge amount of debate over whether or not the kiss with Ariana was worse than the sex that Kristen had with Jax.
Now, of course it's not as bad. It's like a kiss, you know, whatever. A kiss
and then, meanwhile, it comes out that Kristen was having an affair, a three-month-long affair with someone at Sir. And then the way Kristen justifies, she goes, it was an emotional affair. It was an emotional affair. Which,
yeah, with fingers in your vagina, you crazy person. It doesn't matter if you were crying at
the time. She's like a Na'vi, and she feels with, like, her fingers. Like, she feels emotions with her fingers, I mean. She doesn't actually feel, she has no tactile sensation.
It was an emotional relationship. That busboy, you know, he really feeds me emotionally. Okay, so then, yeah, we find out that she's boning a 21-year-old busboy who's friends with Lisa's son.
Yes, exactly. And this guy was also going to move in with Tom.
Not to mention, they showed him, and guess what he has? A horse face. I mean, those two are probably going to get married, and I'm going to send them a box of sugar cubes.
I sort of thought he looked like a duck with abs.
Okay.
He's got a beak quality.
Hopefully they'll give birth to a sheep and we can have a farm.
Yeah, that's it. Either way, barnyard animals all across the board.
Now there's a spin-off.
Yeah. The real barnyard animals of Robertson Boulevard.
Lisa will be like, stop eating out of that box, all right? Use a plate. Stop acting like an animal.
Seriously? Like, I like my locks. I like locks. I'm trying to remember. Everything's like very piecemeal for me, and I should have taken notes.
I wrote down random things. I love that Stassi and Jax are finally broken up, and he's like, yeah, I can't call her anymore because she changed her number. And she's like, no, I just blocked him from my phone. And I thought that was hilarious because Jax looked like, Dory, can do that?
I actually put a picture up of Jax on our Facebook page. And then, like, that's the most derp face ever. He was just standing there like, he's doing the Austin voice.
But I feel bad for her because who else is she going to have that ringtone for? Because you know he had a special ringtone.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Jax was totally caught in a lie because, no shock, because at one point when Tom and Ariana were saying that all they did was kiss, and Jax was like, no, that's impossible. You can't just stop with a kiss. Like, I can't stop with a kiss. And then later on, when I think Andy asked him if he hooked up with any of the married women from Cabo, Jax was like, me? No, we just kissed. I was like, you stupid idiot. You just said you never go, you can't stop at just a kiss. I felt very vindicated that I caught him in that lie and that no one else did.
You should be on CSI.
I should be on CSI. CSI Jax edition. Which would basically be like the same thing as being at the CDC investigating where viral outbreaks take place.
Yeah, you would just basically, your only tool, instead of that whole toolkit, all you would really need is a black light to follow the sperm around.
And instead of the theme song being like, who are you? Ooh, ooh, it'd be like, ew, are you? Jax. Jax, I'm trying to think. Jax was, I don't feel like there was too much attention on Jax this so far.
Well, Jax is just so gross that, I mean, there's nothing. What more can you say?
Well, I think they're saving it. I think they're saving it for next week. Because there was talk about, like, him being over Stassi, et cetera. Now it seems like he is finally over her, but we'll see. We'll see how long that lasts.
He's just stupid.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say. He's stupid. I don't even care about him. He just needs to be quiet. And it's amazing how someone's personality can turn them so ugly on the outside. Like, I think he's so ugly now. And I used to think that guy was beautiful. Yeah. And I look at him now and I'm just like, you are disgusting. It's like the opposite of romance. You know, like when there's an ugly guy, but then he turns out to be nice and you can finally get a boner somehow.
Yeah.
It's like the opposite. Like an opposite boner. Like my boner's hitting my belly button.
The prince is turning into a frog, basically.
He's gross, and now I just think of him with bad breath.
You know, one thing that I really enjoyed was when, at some point, for whatever reason, I think they were talking about Schwartz or whatever, and I guess Jax said he doesn't talk to Schwartz anymore, and Katie's like, I don't have an issue with you, Jax, and then Stassi's like, well, actually, you should have an issue with him. She's like, well, okay, I do have an issue with Jax. Which, of course, Jax and Horseface jumped onto immediately. Horseface is like, you listen to anything Stassi says? Like, you're only, like, not friends with me because Stassi's not friends with me. Seriously? And then Jax probably, like, jerked off or something. But like,
well, I think the best Jax news of the entire reunion is that he's boning Gigi from Shaw's of Sunset because at least now there's a chance that he'll get stabbed.
Gigi, she goes for those hot, disturbed men.
Yeah.
Hot men with drawbacks.
It does make me worry about his sexuality, though. Maybe he's sleeping with so many women to overcompensate for his gayness, because Gigi really only dates gay guys. I've never seen her with a straight guy.
Well, there are rumors that, like, his mysterious past in Miami involved having a gay boyfriend, but I don't know. I think he's pretty straight.
Oh. Whoops. Well, I don't know. He can keep it over there. We've got enough of our own diseases. We don't need the new one that he made in his little scientific lab.
I know. Super STD. It's like everything all rolled into one. Chlamydia, gonorrhea. It's like the Centrum Silver of STDs. And it all comes from him.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those medical mystery books my mom reads. You know those books? Who are they? It's always like the lady who does the autopsy solves a murder case. I'm like, the lady who does autopsies, first of all, is not a model. And second of all, she does not solve cases, okay? She cuts people open.
Well.
Mother. I'm having a very mom-centric podcast today.
It's all coming out.
Call my mom. I know, it's I'm calling my mom after and making sure she's okay.
Well, I'm glad I did not watch this show in the presence of my mother, because I could only imagine the choice words my mom would have for me if she saw me watching these people bickering Like, for instance, when Tom was, like, mad at Kristen for having sex with this new guy in his apartment, and he's like, "You were having sex in my bed with my condoms!"
I love it.
Wasn't like either like your prize condoms that you like forged yourself from your own like rubber mill or something like that.
Yeah, you know that he just like took them out of a fishbowl on the pickup bus from West Hollywood that he used this as a free ride.
Yeah. I just love like that was the biggest insult of all. Although it is very insulting. It is insulting.
Well, they've just cheated on each other so many times, they can't just get mad at each other for cheating anymore. It has to be like, "You cheated with my condoms." Or like, "You cheated, and then you ate the rest of my cereal." Like, they have to one-up it every time, you know? Because yeah. Just cheating isn't hurtful enough anymore.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is this. I think Kristen would have a lot more legitimacy if she really took Tom to task for cheating with the call girls in Vegas. But that somehow gets brushed under the table, and she focuses all on Ariana, and that's just like a kiss. Like, it was just like, it's just a kiss, just like that Lady Antebellum song. Just a kiss, just a da-da-da-da-da-da, you know?
Except way grosser. And yeah. We have to see it instead of just hear it.
Yeah, exactly. When the truth is that Kristen had sex with Jax and apparently had some other affair too. And I liked when Andy called her a hypocrite and she was like, I don't know, did she even say that she was a hypocrite? I think she said that she was not a hypocrite.
No, she did. She's like, "I am a hypocrite. Right. I am a hypocrite. And I, you know, I love Tom. And love Tom. We fuck great. It's really great when we fight. And then we get in these fights. And then we come back together. And the sex is great because we've been fighting." And it's like, ugh.
No, but I did love, you know, I have a feeling, it seemed like Andy had very low tolerance for Kristen. He seemed like he was getting irritated with her. And I liked at one point when she was talking about Tom, she's like, "This is heartbreaking for me. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart to see him with her." And then I think Andy was the one who was like, "Aren't you dating someone new?" And she's like, "Yeah, and it's great." It's just
so crazy. Well, my other thoughts were that Ariana girl, I can see why she never smiles, because it's really creepy when she smiles. She started off, Andy was like, "Hi, Ariana." She's like, "Hi." She has some like weird like laugh. And I don't know. She was really awkward. And I figured out who she reminds me of. And she doesn't look like her right away. But if you just watch how she talks and how her face moves, she looks like she's being played by Amy Adams. It took me a really long time to figure it out. But watch her next time and you'll see it.
Interesting. I was going to say sort of like Robin if she had long blonde hair instead of a little short thing.
I love Robin.
I know. I shouldn't have sullied Robin that way.
Well, Ariana's pretty great considering she's not one of the other ones, but maybe it's just because she hasn't had much airtime yet.
Yeah, she'll be tarnished. You know, last year Kristen wasn't that bad. She was kind of forgettable and sort of immature, but, you know, she was like a whatever. This year, I just, during this reunion, I just kept on thinking about that Time magazine piece that we referenced last week, which called her deeply unlikable. And I was like, yep, deeply, deeply unlikable. Like, when we're talking about deeply, we're talking like a crater. Like, we're talking one of those caves that people base jump into. That's how deep her likability is, or
yeah, unlikability it's so is. Deep, like the pressure of the ocean could like make you explode.
Yeah, when you get to the bottom of her pit of likability, it's like you will actually implode because the air pressure is too great for you.
Yeah, she's pretty gross.
Yeah, no, she's terrible.
So the only other thing I had about this stupid show was the fact that we had to listen to Katie, or Horseface number two is Katie. Katie, her kinky sex life and how her boyfriend likes licking jam out of her toes. And then something about a forehead dildo. And then she said, "No, it goes on your mouth." What the hell?
Seriously.
So is she doing her boyfriend with a mouth dildo? I do not understand.
Yeah, I didn't understand how. Yeah, I didn't understand. Well, maybe he puts it on in his mouth. I don't know.
Why would he? He's got a peen.
Maybe that's why he put a drink on her to wash her off.
Oh, God. All right, let's move on because this show's disgusting. I think we've wasted too much time talking about
that. But it was
hurts
fun. I can't wait for next week. I love the show. It's awful.
Yeah, and who do you think is going to replace Stassi as the evil queen bee? Because there's got to be one. She kind of makes the whole show.
I don't know. I mean, listen, I think Stassi will try to bluff her way through this, and she'll come back. She'll come back.
Yeah, she'll be like, "Oh, it didn't work out with the sportscaster. He totally screwed me over. When are the good people going to win?"
Stassi's really cashing in all her fame chips going for that Sirius radio DJ.
Yeah, you go. Woo! It's like getting a guy with a podcast. Congratulations. Sirius only has 9,000 channels.
I know.
And nobody listens to it.
Congratulations. Right. You are really, really parlaying your fame and to move up that social ladder.
All right. So what do you want to talk about next? Beverly Hills or Atlanters?
I guess why don't we talk about Beverly Hills since it's fresher and it's also in the same universe as this show. So I don't think really not too much happened this week. It was one of those episodes where things were simmering. Carlton had a party with her at what was it called? Something Cross, like Financial Cross or Stock Cross.
And before, okay, Carlton is full of shit on a couple of points. Didn't she say before that her husband is a sports agent? He's an agent to athletes?
No, I don't think she said that, but maybe he works with athletes with financial dealings, etc.
I could have sworn that she said that he's like a sports agent, like Jared Squire.
Never, ever, 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 ever trust my money to anyone who's like this guy who sits in the confessionals with his collar, like his open and a cross and like chest hair coming out. I mean, it's like giving your money to Sal down at the used car lot.
Yeah, and you talk like that. He's like, yeah, like, but you know, you could see how she had a problem with it, right? Right?
And it's also not very confidence building when they're like, all right, we're planning this party. Make sure the rental Ferraris are in front so they can see them. It's like, really?
So douchey.
So douchey. That's so sad. It's like multi-level marketing. They're like, did you see all those BMWs out front? Well, we got that from hard work and you're about to learn. It's like, I saw the budget rental car sticker on that. Yeah. Okay.
And by the way, that does not like instill faith in me. You know, if you can't have those Lamborghinis and Ferraris pulling up on their own and you have to rent them out, makes me think that actually you guys are not in good shape.
Yeah, I think it looks like the company from Wolf of Wall Street.
It did. Where they're
like total slime bags.
It totally did. And actually, on the inside, it looked like the Jerry Maguire offices. I was just...
Well, and while we're on Wolf of Wall Street, Carlton kind of reminds me of a prize of what... Because, you know, in Wolf of Wall Street, if you guys haven't seen it, it's basically Leo DiCaprio is a slime bag stockbroker who comes up with the scam to steal everybody's money, and they're making so much money that the guys are just turning into animals, and they have all these parties where they're all doing coke in the office and banging hookers, and they just bring all these naked hookers in and start having sex with them, like mass orgies and all this stuff. And I kind of feel like that's probably how Carlton met her husband, because yeah. The first time she mentioned him, she said that she met him in a club and got in a fight with somebody over him.
Yeah.
And then last night she said she was working at this company and then she married the boss's son. Which is it, bitch? And what were you doing at Stock Cross? I have a feeling she was on her knees in the break room.
Yeah. Those of all the things that were crossed in that company, her legs were not one of them.
Yes. Stock means never.
And you know, by the way, you know that like if Kyle, like if Mauricio was like the boss's son at wherever Kyle worked, you know that like Carlton would be like, well, that is just gross. That's just lewd. You know, have some standards other than boinking the boss's son, you know?
Well, he kind of was. What was the deal with Moore? What was his last job? He was working for the Hiltons.
Yeah, he was, but yeah, they had some sort
of... But yeah, he was working for the Hilton's real estate company. But yeah, you're right. If it was that season, she'd be like, oh, it's disgusting. At least I don't need to live off my father-in-law.
Yeah, exactly. No, Carlton is just, she's an idiot. And she's...
Stupid. And then her fake crying, Lisa's like, listen, Tommy, you were wrong in that. All right, just admit that you're wrong. Okay, here's the thing with Lisa. This girl will never learn. In season one, we see her standing up for Kyle. She's mean to Camille because Kyle said that she called her a bitch. Yeah. She does everything Kyle wants to because she's sticking up for Kyle. Then she finds out Kyle's been talking shit about her. So then the next season, she decides to try and be nice to Kyle and let it all go. And Camille. Kyle gets mad. Yes.
Yeah.
And then Kyle decides that she still doesn't like Lisa because she's being punished because they're not as close as they were. Well, you fucking betrayed her on camera like zillion times. Like,
thank you.
What is she supposed to do?
Thank you. And that is honestly the feeling I got. If we just fast forward to the end of the episode, there was a conversation with Kyle and Brandy where Brandy is like, I feel like Lisa's manipulating me. I'm not getting my daily phone call anymore. And then they bond and they say, well, you know, that's what Lisa does. Like, you know, the moment, like, you know, like the moment you speak out against her, then she ices you out of her life and da 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 da. And they act like this is like a crazy thing to do. Guess what, bitch? If you like, if you talk shit about your friend, there are a lot of people that will just ice you out. That's the way life goes.
Yeah, you can't just treat your friends like crap and talk shit about them and call them terrible people and then be like, okay, well, why are you mad?
Yeah.
And then Kyle saying, and especially Brandy, okay, we've been waiting all season to see what causes this huge rift, because Brandy's been going off against Lisa all season and, you know, in public. And we're like, what in the world did Lisa do to piss Brandy off so bad? She must have done something. And it turns out Lisa didn't do anything. Brandy's just deciding, like, she's literally doing what Carlton did last week when she said, I had a dream that Kyle said something about my religion. Who does that? Like, that's literally this season. People are just coming up with things and going after them. She doesn't even have a reason except that she feels like Lisa is like manipulating her in some way.
Or is, like, mothering her too much, or maybe, like, I don't know. I agree with you completely, and it really bothers me that these women don't understand that, like, if you talk shit about someone, there's a good chance they will ice you out of their lives, especially if they're, like, older than you. You know, one thing that happens as you get older is that you have less tolerance for bullshit in your life, and I think if you're someone like Lisa, who I think is, like, early 50s, who is also, like, smarter as smarter than all these women. What'd you say?
That's generous.
She's older, she's wiser, and she doesn't have patience for this, and she's, quite frankly, probably richer than most of them, too. So, you know, if someone...
And she just sees them for what they are, you know?
She does.
Like, Kim is saying, oh, she's just dismissive of me, and yeah, I don't appreciate Lisa being dismissive. Kim, you're a fucking drunk... Okay, if people weren't dismissive of you, you would have been thrown in a loony bin years ago. If people didn't dismiss your fucking drunken, drug addict behavior, your lying, your psychosis, all the pills that you're on, you know, most families would not be dismissive of you, and they would have checked you in somewhere years ago. You're lucky that people are dismissive of you, because you can still be on TV, because people dismiss all your problems. They dismiss all the mistakes you made and just give you a clean slate every fucking time you want one, which is nice, you know, good for you. But don't turn it around like, of course she's being dismissive, Kim. You're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, that's the thing. When you go into her house and then you say, you didn't come to this thing, you know, when you have bailed on so many other parties and events, then, you know, that's like tacking as gauche. So of course Lisa's gonna be dismissive of you. And of course, like, Lisa's gonna be dismissive to Joyce when Joyce says, oh, like, when I tried to fix your hair, you were like, stay away. Like, all this shit is so stupid. And it is, quite frankly, below Lisa. And she should dismiss them. And she should ice them out. And I don't think that she's being... Well, even if she is being manipulative, I think it's within her right. And you know what? These people deserve to be manipulated because they're stupid.
Well, if I had a problem... If Adrienne is going around calling people saying, let's get Lisa at the reunion and this and that, and she called it the Maloof Hoof and this and that, that's people manipulating.
Yeah.
And Brandy said flat out that she got a call from Adrienne and all the girls, and they had this plan to go after Lisa and blah, blah, blah. And while it was going down, Kyle sat there and said nothing and just watched because she was part of it. That's manipulation.
Yeah.
Lisa's calling her friend and saying, Adrienne's a bitch. I can't believe she would do this to me. You know, like, she's calling me a liar. Look at her. That's normal to be talking shit about your friends. She's not making Brandy go out there and say something. And by Brandy going out there saying something, she's actually being a bad friend to Lisa by repeating stuff that was said behind closed doors in the first place. So Brandy loses on all fronts on this one.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you just sort of look at the scoreboard. I mean, look, who's doing all the complaining? It's like the trashy ones. The trashy ones, the people who are, like... Again, not very smart. And the one who is coming out on top is Lisa. And she's smart.
One other thing about that was when Kim sees her outside of that Stockcross party. And she starts making fun of Lisa and Ken because Ken's like, oh, why weren't you at my birthday? And she's like, oh, well, sorry, I was in Wisconsin. I've got pictures on my phone to prove it. And then wouldn't let it, which was really funny. But then she wouldn't let it go and kept doing it over and over. And then... she never answers the question. She just totally keeps making fun of them and goes inside, almost like dismissing them. You fucking hypocrite, Kim.
Yeah, Exactly, exactly.
She's like a double hypocrite. She doesn't show up somewhere she's supposed to go, and then she dismisses them. And speaking of, while we're on this ridiculous invitations, Yolanda,
I know.
You're rich. Have your own fucking parties, okay? Like, you're already using one man, so now you still have to go back to the other man that you were using to meet this one that you're using to throw parties for you, and then have his wife do everything for you for your daughter's party? What a fucking loser.
I know. I mean, seriously, Gigi, get to NYU already. Like, I don't know how many more send-offs we can have with you as well. I love how...
But like Yolanda, does she do anything? She has it at Muhammad's house, and then she doesn't even plan the food. She makes Shiva do it. It's like, you're the new slave. He pays you to do things. You do it.
I love when she's talking about, like, she's like, you know, like, Gigi and her friends never like to go and have parties at Mohammed's house because the house is too big, whereas our house is much smaller. I mean, our house is still big, but not as big as Mohammed's. I'm like,
but
oh, yeah.
Our house is more embarrassing because it's in the middle of two freeways.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, Yolanda, that was... I don't know. I thought when she was upset at Lisa about this thing with a birthday party coinciding with Yolanda's stepdaughter's wedding, I thought that she was looking for a fight, I think.
She is. She's saying that Lisa was trying to steal Mohammed away from the wedding. Yeah. Like, look, do you think Lisa's sitting there saying, I wasn't invited to her kid's wedding, that's rude? No, she's saying, why would I? I barely know the kid. I hope they had a good time, but... Of course, I'm going to invite one of my best friends.
Absolutely, it's like exactly. You know, because it's one of these things where you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because if she doesn't invite Mohammed, all of a sudden it's like, I can't believe that Lisa didn't invite Mohammed, one of her best friends. You know, it's like she'll be attacked no matter what with these women. You know, and I think it's like, I'm sorry, Yolanda. I'm sure not all of your friends have it written down when your stepdaughter is getting married. You know, like I think it's actually reasonable. That Lisa may have forgotten that this was... Even if you told her when the wedding was, it is very reasonable that Lisa may have forgotten that about an event that she wasn't invited to, you know, that she heard about in passing.
It's like when you have 16 children from 3 or 4 different men, like, we're going to kind of forget things sometimes. Okay, bitch?
Yeah.
And you know that Lisa probably still sent her a pen or something.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what kills me.
Yeah, exactly. Lisa probably sent her a painting kit, you know? That way.
Like, I couldn't make it to your painting party, darling, but I sent a Picasso over. I hope that'll do. And like, that painting don't even, that guy can't even draw within the lines. How rude. Yeah, Yolanda's stupid. Okay, speaking of stupid, Kyle. Okay, Kyle. Please just be a flat-out C-word. Please. That's what you are. Be yourself. Be a full-fledged bitch. Go behind people's backs, talk, start crap, do what you do, and I can like you. But this fake Kyle, I cannot take this fake Kyle. It is bullshit, and it's not likable. She thinks she's being likable. She's telling Mauricio, oh, well, you know, we're going to go to this Puerto Rico thing with Joyce because there's a modeling thing. And he's like, well, good. Maybe I could do some work or something there, you know. She's like, oh, ha, ha, ha. Don't you want to be with me? Oh, and can you believe that she didn't, you know, we were invited. I was disinvited to Carlton's, but you weren't. You can still go. And he's like, oh. And she's like, yeah, like you would even go. I mean, what a bitch. What an idiotic thing to do. And I'm thinking, Kyle, this is a business party where there's, like, hundreds of multimillionaires. Your husband is a salesman. You fucking twat. Like, he's sitting there probably thinking it's a repeat of the Camille thing. He got mad at her because she fucked with a multimillionaire, Frazier. And here she is fucking with 100 multimillionaires.
Let me tell you, I actually think in this case, I think Kyle is right. I think that, like, Carlton, that's a tacky-ass move for Carlton to say, you're not allowed to come, but your husband is. Like, that to me is bullshit, and I think any husband will say, I'm not going to go to this. Because, you know, Mauricio at this point, he doesn't need Carlton's party for business contacts. Mauricio is pretty well-established here in L.A., and he's on TV, and he's been on TV for a few years now. He doesn't need this party, okay? So I actually think...
Oh, you will never hear a salesman... Especially one that's that successful, saying that he doesn't need a party like that.
No, I mean, let me rephrase it. Of course, he probably would like to go to that party, but it's not like this is a make or break thing in his career, you know?
Right. Well, I'm not saying that he should go. I'm not saying that he should have gone. I'm just pointing out that it's another instance where Kyle has fucked up a good amount of money for him. And yeah. He didn't say flat out, oh, I would never go. She was like, oh, well, to think that you would go. And he's just kind of looking off in the distance.
Well, to be also fair, Kyle did not actually really fuck that up. That was Carlton. Remember, Carlton was the one who was a lunatic at that dinner party. And Kyle was just like, what the fuck? So I actually have to say, in this case, I am on Kyle's side. Now, where I'm not on Kyle's side is the fact that Joyce and her husband invited Kyle and Mauricio to Puerto Rico, and then Kyle goes and invites Brandy along. Like, if you want to talk about manipulation, okay, Joyce and Brandy are friendly at best now. I mean, they don't like each other. And this is Joyce's trip, and now all of a sudden you're bringing Brandy along? Like, that's actually fucked up, and if I were Joyce, I'd be pissed off at Kyle. And that is, I think that's poor form.
It is, but I mean, that's just another thing. It's like getting mad that everyone's at the Chamber of Commerce party. Like, that's an obvious story thing where they're like, this year's trip is going to be in Puerto Rico.
Right.
So everybody's going to Puerto Rico, have fun, because that's going to be the group trip for the year. So they all have to like find their slimy little ways to get together and go. But you're right. I mean, disregarding that, of course, it's super shitty. I mean, Kyle's just shitty. It was funny watching her sit there, like, trying to repress a smile.
Yeah.
When Brandy was just completely turning for no reason.
Yeah. Like, for no reason.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, Brandy's been acting like a dipshit this season. You know, she's been getting drunk and saying... Here's the thing. Brandy has been getting very drunk. She's been saying things. She's been picking fights. She's been inappropriate. And Lisa has been, like, standing up for her. And Brandy's getting pissed at her or whatever. And honestly, if I were Lisa, if I had like a drunkard friend who was being inappropriate, who was saying mean things to other people, who was out of line, and I was trying to defend them for a while, and they were getting mad at me or they were not changing their behavior, you know, I too would maybe take a step back from the friendship. And I don't think that's like icing anyone out. I don't think that's being manipulative. I think it's like what you normally would do with someone who is out of control.
Well, also she's kind of icing Lisa out because she's been annoyed with her for, you know, weeks. And on the show, I don't know in real time how long that's been, but she's been cold and like brushing her off and hanging out with Yolanda or whatever. And, you know, making it clear that she, you know, like, I'm taking Yolanda with me because, you know, you'll embarrass my family with all your money or whatever.
Right.
You know, shit like that. She's been blowing Lisa off. I don't know that Lisa's really the one that's backing off in the relationship.
Exactly. And I don't know if you can get mad at Lisa for suddenly, like, getting chummy, getting, like, best friends, becoming best friends with Kyle when Brandy took Yolanda to Sacramento. That was, like, in a certain way, that was a passive-aggressive move on Brandy's part. So, Listen, bitch, you started.
Yep, and she's going to lose. And that's what's so funny. Like, all these women are obviously talking on the phone and getting themselves all worked up over Lisa for whatever reasons that they have privately. But, bitches, you're all going to lose, okay? Look at who you've got. Kim, who's been on the chopping block for, like, ever. I don't know about Kyle. But Kyle says she'll go if Kim goes. And Brandy, who everyone kind of hates now. Like, how do you think you're going to win against the most popular person on the show?
I know.
Like, it's just the wrong fight. And I love a Housewives fight. I don't mind people ganging up. But this is just ridiculous. When they don't even have to have anything to do with anything anymore, it's just like, come on, shut up.
Yeah. There's no way they're going to win this one. It makes me like Lisa more. And the editors were trying to make Lisa look like a queen bee because in the middle of this they were intercutting this complaining about Lisa with footage of her getting dolled up for a cover shoot, and she was being glamorous and she was ordering Rocio around. But like, honestly, I don't know. It just makes me like Lisa more. I don't even care if she's manipulative.
But then it turns out that Lisa's closet is empty because she gave all her clothes to poor people. Like, you're not going to be able to do it. Like, if that's Lisa being manipulative and smart, then good for her. Then being more cunning than these fucking Bravo assholes who are going to try and pull their regular Bravo reality shit on her. It's just not going to work. And good for her for sticking up for herself. Well, Brandy was on Watch What Happens Live, and I cannot watch that. But I did watch a few clips because the Shaw's cast, the Vander, Tom and Shanna from Vanderpump Rules were tweeting, Tom tweeted at Brandy, "You have a face like an ass stuck between two bricks," or something like something stupid. And "You're hanging by a string." And then Shanna was like, "Literally by a string," referring to her tampon string, which I forget what that was about. But apparently she said something about them on Watch What Happens. So I was trying to watch Eclipse, and I didn't see that. But I did see her talking about Lisa. And she's like, "Well, yeah, this stuff with Lisa, you know, trying to mother me and baby me, she doesn't do that off camera. It's like, if you're going to mother me, why don't you mother me when I'm wasted at Sir until 4 a.m? It's like, God, you're so disgusting. You're sitting there talking about this chick, like complaining that she's not taking care of you when you're drinking for free at her restaurant every night of the week till 4 a.m, acting like a fucking idiot." Absolutely. And she's the one who's doing something wrong. She's like, this is just so gross. And the other thing was her talking about Kenya Moore, because they got in a little Twitter tiff, because after Brandy made the "Black people can't swim" comment, Kenya said something about her being ignorant. And Brandy was like, "Yeah, well, that was an ignorant comment. But you know what? Kenya, she needs to do something about that dark hair and that dark makeup, because it looks ashy." Oh, my God. Now you called a black woman ashy. Like, how fucking stupid are you?
So stupid.
Meanwhile, her face, of course, can't even move. Like, drool's coming down the side because she stuck it so many times.
I know. At least now we know why her voice is sounded messed up. I thought it was because of Botox, but apparently she got allergic to something.
She sounds like fucking Marlon Brando. She was not allergic to anything. She got jacked up on more Botox. Give me a break.
Yeah, that's true.
She was allergic. She ate she ate a taco, so her mouth... Please. Bitch, please. Gave her a stroke. Shut up.
She ate a fat burger.
Turned her into Andy Rooney. Shut up.
Oh, gosh. All right, so how do you feel about moving on to Real Housewives of Atlanta?
Good, because Beverly Hills really pissed me off, and I really don't like being put in the position where I'm standing up for someone so vehemently. I really, especially a housewife. Like, yeah. I need to hate them all equally, but so let's move on.
Okay, so Atlanta, another great episode. This was part two of the big fight that we saw. So 2 weeks ago, before the Super Bowl, there was this big brawl at this weird pajama party thing that Nene was having. And Kenya was, quote-unquote, charging Natalie, and Christopher Williams, or whatever his name was, tried to put a hand on her to stop her, and that's when Kenya's gay got up from his beanbag, and he started screaming, and then Apollo started punching him, and then there was a big brawl. So that was the last fight, and you'd think it would be over. But then this week, things spiraled out of control yet again. Because
in the same fight, which was hilarious.
Well, because now it was like,
basically that little woman who was in trouble for talking shit about Candy was like, "Well, Cynthia, you know, Cynthia was the one who came up with that word. I did not use that word." Now, of course, she did not use the word user. Wait, what was it? No, opportunist.
So, no, what happened was this. To back up a little bit more. This guy, the singer, was saying, "Listen, I want to apologize to everyone. I just, you know, I wanted to just to address the room because, you know, it's really annoying when you know someone for 20 years and then someone who doesn't know anyone, who, you know, someone just comes up and says, 'Oh, I know this about you and your husband.'" And he's like, "That's really annoying." So then Kenny was like, "Well, see, now, that's funny because, you know, she certainly had a lot to say about Todd." And then that's when everything went out of control.
Yes. And that little lady was like, "Well, listen, I never said the word opportunist. Here's what I said. I said that Todd dated my best friend. He cheated on her. And then he looked for something, you know, better. And he moves up in the world. That's all I said." So basically, you're saying he's an opportunist without using the word, which is still the same thing. Just cop to it. But she keeps saying, "Well, Cynthia's the one who came up with that word." So Cynthia gets all defensive and comes up to Candy and starts waving her finger in her face.
Yeah.
And trying to make – I don't even know what her argument was because she totally did say that. And she totally did start that shit and had those people to dinner just to start shit about Candy.
Yeah, so I don't even know what she was doing. She was just up in Candy's face for no reason. Because, you know, Cynthia is – I mean, between the two of them, they got half a brain cell.
I mean, she's dumb as a model. So, I mean, she really is.
She is. You know, her ex-husband or ex baby or her baby mom, dad, whatever, the guy, he's smart, he's hot, and Noelle is pretty, and she looks like she's going to be a smart young lady. But Cynthia, not smart.
Cynthia is dumb. Her brain did not mature at the same rate her ass did.
I think her fibroids ate all her brain cells. Fibroids.
Fibroids. So she is waving her finger in Candy's face, basically saying nothing, because she has nothing to say. She's just talking a bunch of bullshit. And Candy's like, don't be waving your finger in my face.
See, now you're not Riley. You can't be waving your finger in my face, because see, now that's just wrong.
And then Peter comes up, and he's like, no, look, here's the thing. Now here's how it goes down. Now here's what's going on. You know, because... And he's getting in her face, and I'm sure he's not going to punch Candy, but he's in her face.
And he, of all people, accuses them of acting street. Of all people, this is Peter, okay?
Peter and probably accuses stolen them. Car.
Yeah.
So he's like all up in her face. So Todd pushes him out of her face. And then Mallory, out of nowhere, comes in. Yeah.
And I didn't even know Mallory was there. She's the mouse like,
Todd and Candy.
She's like, hey, get out of the way. I gotta push you out of the way. I'm Mallory. I'm going to be here for 3 months.
Hey, I'm going to be pushing you out of the way for 3 months. I didn't
tell anyone this, but I'm at the pajama party and I'll be here for 3 months.
Hey, guys. This pajama party is really nice. I wanted to know if I could maybe show my necklaces.
Is this a pajama party trunk show? Hey.
Look what I could do with the garbage tie.
Hey, I could put a garbage tie and make it into a necklace and sell it at the Bailey agency. Hey, I'm out. I don't know why in my version of her, she's always introducing herself.
And, you know, I mean, of course, we're suspecting that Mallory is just auditioning for the show by even being there, right? But she has no personality, so she couldn't be on the show. Because that's one thing. That they don't require brains or talent, but they do require a personality, which she does not have.
No.
So I guess she tried to make her move, which is the only thing I can think of, by pushing Candy and Todd, like, to start a fight. So then Candy goes into a realm we've never seen.
Which she goes into Mama Joyce mode.
We see the Mama Joyce in Candy.
Yeah.
For sure.
Like, basically, the metaphorical stiletto came off the heel and was in her hand. She was ready.
Something in my face! That is wrong! That is wrong!
She went cuckoo.
She went absolutely bizarre. And I loved it. And I, you know, because I love Candy. And good for her. Good for her for yelling at those morons. Like, it's about time someone really yelled at Peter.
Yeah, I mean, what the hell does he think he's doing? And all these people, it's like, they're trying to ruin our relationship, and they're like, what? What'd we do? Like, you're actively on television, purposely trying to ruin my relationship, like,
And
for no reason, and then you wonder why I'm mad at you.
Yeah, and by the way, the way Peter talks to women is so condescending, it's insulting. It gives me the creeps. He's so, like, you know, he always, he talks in this way, like, the women are just idiots. He'll be the one be like, we're trying to have a conversation here. Like, now you all need to settle down. We're trying to talk man to man. As if, like, the women are so crazy and so stupid, which is actually true. But still, like, he doesn't give them any benefit.
Well, if he didn't act like a total baby, I mean, when Greg was having problems with Nene, I think this was on the Nene wedding show, Greg's like, well, you know, Nene's mad at me, and I don't know what to do about Nene. And Peter's like, listen, man, here's what you want to hear. You're the only thing that matter. You're the only thing I love. And then you fuck up. That's, like, basically his advice. Yeah. So then on the Atlanta show, like, 2 weeks later, Cynthia's like, Peter, I do not appreciate how you just went and bought a building without my permission. He's like, I can't take this. This ain't fair. I don't want to live like this. This is bullshit. I need my own place.
Like, listen to your own advice, you fucking idiot.
So yeah, it's hard to listen to Peter because Peter acts like the sensible one. It's like, you've been married a zillion times. Your eyes are bloodshot because you're high right now. Shut the fuck up,
Peter. Yeah, and get out of your bathrobe.
Get out of your bathrobe, Uncle Ben. He didn't even know it was a pajama party. He just showed up in a bathrobe.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's just like, it just worked out really well for him this time.
Like, why everybody dressed like me?
So the big fight happened. And then we get to see
I was gonna say, then like I think the next thing was pretty much like it was like the post game, right? Like,
yes, it was where everybody was talking about their version of the fight, which you know, this show is very, very good at how they piece it all together, because that shit was hilarious, because everybody has a different story. And I have to say, Candy actually had the exact right story.
She was right. Yeah, she got it right, because she's, you know, because she's a smart cookie and she pays attention to things and she knows, she understands things.
She did not exaggerate anything. She did not try and make herself look innocent. And they, you know, the editors were sure to put in scenes so that we know who's lying and who's not. And Candy was telling, everything Candy said was absolutely true. And I love that even the people surrounding Candy are like, well, you lost control. You have to apologize. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, because that's, no one else has any kind of relationship like that. A truthful relationship, a mature relationship.
And she was like, and you know what? And by the way, and Candy realized that. And she's like, you're right. And she gathered everyone together. Meanwhile, everyone else that they're in different places, they just have enablers that are like, you did the right thing. You did the right thing, you know? And I mean, I get that too. When you're in a big fight, you do want some people to kind of like make you feel better, but at the same time, no one's even saying, well, you know, you may have played a role in this fight. Maybe you should apologize because you did help in the escalation of this. No one ever says anything like that, and they should.
Yeah. Well, she's the only one who seems to have, like, a real relationship out of all those people.
Well, I loved when Kenya's gay Brandon came over, and he's, like, all dramatic, showing his, like, his very small black eyes. Although, to be fair, he got beat up by Apollo. That's not going to be a pleasant thing. But I love when he was like, I was thinking about pressing charges, but then I thought about those two children, and I decided, this isn't just Phaedra and Apollo. They're two kids involved. I'm like, shut the fuck up. Don't act like you're a saint. You're not a, you're doing this because you just don't want to get embroiled in this battle, legal battle, whatever. Like,
I loved when he said, I know one thing. I hold all the cards. Like, shut up.
I'm like, you like hold like the Uno cards, you know, the cards that really don't really matter unless you're playing Uno.
This is skipping ahead a little bit, but we'll come back to what we were talking about. Nene going off with her homophobia is a little offensive. I'm not really like that. We've mentioned this before, but even, you know, this week is getting even worse with her. And then Kenya's queen jumps up with his red thing. Sit down, queen. You know, what do you have to say? It's like, whoa.
Yeah,
that's not really cool.
I actually agree. Listen, I believe that Nene loves the gays. I believe that in terms of like...
Meaning
that like she loves hanging around with gays and all this and that. But I think that her attitudes...
haven't ever seen her hanging out with one.
What about... Remember Dwight? She and Dwight used to be thick as thieves. But the problem is that I think her attitudes towards homosexuality are not very progressive. I mean, she does say homophobic things. Like you said, you know, like, shut up, queen, and referring to him as a girl and all that. Like, it sounds a little tone deaf, you know?
And you know what? It's not, let me make this clear. It's not that she's wrong.
Yeah.
He is a queen in a flaming red nightgown.
And he was awful.
And shut up. Like, she's right about it. But, you know, you can't just, like, if we're going to be politically correct.
Yeah.
You know, we've all got to play the game, bitch. Like, even if you think it, you can't say it. That's just the rules. Okay?
Yeah.
And I'm sure that her thing is going to be like, oh, well, I couldn't be homophobic because I'm friends with Ryan Murphy, you know, who puts me on TV shows. And he wouldn't work with me if I was a homophobe. It's like, bitch, you just need to stop calling.
Well, a lot of people, when they say things like what Nene said, they justify it by saying, like, listen, I love gays. I love gay people and everything. But, no, this guy was acting crazy. And to me, he wasn't acting like a gay person. He was acting like a queen, as if like being a queen is like a different category. They're just like this awful, crazy, like, it's like a separate version. When gay people act egregiously and terribly, they become a queen. And I understand that, but what Nene has to understand is that people say the same thing about black people. And I'm not saying this as an endorsement. I'm saying people say, and it's bad. It's bad when people do that. You know, people say, well, I like black people, but when they act like this, then they're acting more like N-words. And that's like, when people say that, it's like, it's awful. Like, that's not right. Yeah. That's not right. And that's actually, she's sort of doing a similar thing, you know?
Yeah, you know, she's being a hypocrite. What a shock. Fucking Nene. Who would have guessed it?
Yeah. So,
Nene,
it's a subtle thing, and I hope people are able to understand what we're saying.
I don't think
here.
It's, I don't, I mean, I...
Well, meaning that, like...
I'm, I think I know what you mean, that it is a subtle thing, but she's not. The way she's doing it is not a subtle thing.
Subtlety is not Nene Leakes is not synonymous with subtlety.
Yeah, she needs to be called out on that shit and cut that shit out. And I'm interested to see if Andy's going to even have the nerve to say anything to her about it. He'll probably give her those disappointed cross-eyed things, and she'll bring up Ryan Murphy, and he'll forgive her.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And she's like, I love black people, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, gay people.
I love black gay people.
I love black gay people.
Yeah, so she needs to cut that shit out. That's the end of that. So back to everybody telling their stories. Well, Candy is basically telling her, she has a very mature version. Phaedra comes in, and she's just trying not to let loose on Apollo. Because we've heard Phaedra, you know, when she thinks her mic is off, how she really talks to Apollo. Mm-hmm. Why you talk that bitch? Like,
yeah.
Like she'll get like super like jailhouse on his ass. But this time she was being really like quiet and just waiting to see what he had to say. And he's like, well, here's what happened. I was sitting on the couch, and then he came. I was bending over to tie my shoe, and then he looked like he had rage. So I hit him.
Like, what? I don't really know what happened, but you know, like, I was trying to break it up. I was trying to break it up, and then he tried to punch me, and then, I don't know, I guess maybe I hit him. I don't know.
Maybe I did. I don't know. I love you, though.
Really? And then they show the clip of him just, like, starting to lay into Brandon and punching him while he's on the couch. Really classy, dude. So then we see the other version, which is, we don't see Kenya's full version until later.
Right.
But when we do see Kenya's version, it's hilarious because Kenya is actually so crazy that no one will be on her side, no matter what happens. And I don't blame them because Kenya is legit crazy. But in this case, she was actually telling the truth.
Yeah.
She's like, I was walking across to talk to Mallory, the husband or whoever. The husband came up. The husband came up and grabbed my arm, and I said, "Don't touch me." And they're like, "No, he didn't grab your arm. He never touched you. He never grabbed. He just put his hands up to stop you."
And by the way, that's Kenya was right and wrong, because she was right in that she did just walk over, and then I do think that he just tried to stop her. But I loved how Portia, of all the stories, the one that was the most incorrect was Portia's. Portia's is like, from my vantage point, he did not lay a hand on you. And then they show, like, footage of his hand, like, firmly clasped around Kenya's arm. It's like, all of them, the one that's completely incorrect is Portia.
Yeah, it's like, Portia, please don't be a witness for anything ever. Okay? An innocent person will go to jail. So the big fight, basically, let's face it, that entire fight was Nene's fault. She brings all these people together. She knows all the shit they're talking about with the husbands. And she just starts saying it. And she would have gone over everybody's shit had it not blown up. And now she's like, well, my feelings are hurt. This really has me low. And I'm like, you should feel low because you are fucking low. I mean, that is low what you did. It's like you're trying to break up people and trying to cause all this shit. And then just sit back.
Yeah. And of all the people who are impacted by this, Nene is the least of the one. She's the one who is the least impacted, okay?
Of course. So she's going to deflect and blame Kenya.
I feel worse for the waiters that were there, those, like, half-naked waiters who, like, you would see in everyone was storming out, you see them, like, cowering in the corner being like, what did I sign up for?
I know. They're like, I was just supposed to masturbate publicly. I didn't sign up for bruises.
Yeah.
And I love that the entire crew had to get into it because, you know, the crew, no matter what happens on these shows, you don't see the crew. Like, it's very rare that you see the crew. This time there's like 50 people suddenly in the room, like holding everybody apart with clipboards and headpieces on and everything. And then they're just gone again suddenly.
Right.
It's like, okay, you know, we're back to normal.
Meanwhile, the women then eventually all reconvene at like some sort of Korean spa, it appeared to be, and they're like having tea, and of course they're trying to like talk it out, but that never works on this show, and they just start yelling, and I was so embarrassed for like Candy and the others, because you're in like a spa, and like it's supposed to be quiet and calm, and you hear like Kenya and Nene, the two loudest women, just screaming at each other. I was like, please, someone stop these women. Get them out of the spa. This is too difficult.
Yeah, Nene does not give a shit. She's like, we paid for this place to shoot today, and this is how we're shooting. So fuck them.
Yeah. So
yeah, so that show, this was fun because we normally don't have really much drama to talk about on this show because it's just so fucking funny. But yeah. Even when they can be this dramatic and this much real shit can go down, it's still the funniest one. I laughed through the whole thing.
Oh, it is hilarious. It was a great episode. I'm loving it this season. I think the show is like tonally, it's right where it needs to be. Normally at this time, I start to feel like Atlanta kind of loses its speed and just sort of then starts to limp its way to the finish line. But I'm like
totally. Well, something else for the first time in the history of the show is happening, where Nene is being eclipsed. Mm-hmm. For the longest time, she's been the most popular one. She's been the highest paid one. And she's made the decisions. When Sheree chased her out of that parking lot, talking about her fake teeth and her ghetto cars and her past as a stripper and all that stuff, Sheree was fired. She never came back. And it was not because Sheree wasn't entertaining, because she was.
Yeah.
Anyone who fucks with Nene is gone. And that's the end of it. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows it. And that's not going to work this year, because this is the highest ratings they've ever had. And this is the highest rated Housewives out of all of them in general. But this is the highest ratings they've ever had. And it's due to Kenya. Everybody knows it.
Yeah.
And Kenya and Nene are now actually going to battle. They're going at it on the internet, because Kenya's not going to just sit back and take Nene's shit like everybody else. Like, right. She doesn't give a shit. And so Nene's going to actually have someone to battle her for the first time ever. And she can't just get them fired. So right. I think it's going to be a fun ride.
Yeah. Oh, no. I agree completely. And by the way, one last thing. I just want to mention, I loved every now and then during the big fight, both this week and last week, they would cut to Chuck and Monique. Remember Chuck, the football player?
Yeah.
And this guy who a few weeks ago was talking about how, like, you know, he had all these bitches lined up and, you know, all that, and sort of acting like he was, like, the man regarding Candy and Phaedra. This fight goes down. What's he doing? He's hiding in the corner behind his woman. Just want to point that out.
Well, yeah, because he knew that he was next. Like, yeah. Those questions keep coming. He knows that he's going to be next.
Yeah, he actually lucked out. He really lucked out. It would have been like, so, I hear you have a small penis. And second of all, what's up with you and Candy and Phaedra?
Are we done with this one?
We are done.
Dunzo. Done. We are done with Real Housewives of Atlanta. Check.
All right. We still have a lot more craziness, which goes directly into Blood, Sweat, and Heels. This show, I love this show. And there was plenty of craziness on display, thanks to Micah, our favorite drunkard of Sunday nights, who showed up at the Hamptons at Bree's house. She wasted off her ass, which normally you'd say, oh, well, her dad just died, but she's always wasted. And she shows up, and Bree, this girl Bree, she's like the prototypical prissy rich girl. She's the one when there's like an 80s teen movie and the girl has the party and everyone trashes their house. She's like, you guys, it's my parents' house. Like, I can't believe it. She, you know what she is? She's what's her face and Can't Hardly Wait, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, who's not her. Well, no, never mind. Who cares about that reference?
She's Charlotte. She's Charlotte from Sex and the City.
Sure. The point is this. She's like, my parents. Eh. So Micah comes in. She's wasted off her ass. Demetria and Genevieve are total assholes to her, because they've been waiting for hours to go to dinner. Do you think they should have been
Well, here's the thing that was so funny. Okay, before Micah even comes, these women are already all over her ass. Like, I cannot believe she is so late. How rude. Can you believe that someone is that late to an event? Excuse me, bitch. Weren't you 2 hours late to that dinner party just a couple weeks ago? I mean, are you fucking kidding me with this? So exactly. Then she comes in, and they're all, you know, she's drunk, and she's like, and they're all, you know, just giving her dirty looks, like they're just so embarrassed by her and they can't believe that she would be so late. It's like, listen, bitches, I know you're sipping wine at a beautiful house in the Hamptons, but it is not your wine and it is not your house. Get over yourselves. You all live off your parents and run blogs. Shut up.
Yeah. And by the way, Brie, why don't you just like put out like a cheese plate, okay, to snack on? You got that wine. Just hang out. Like,
no kidding. Like, what's the big deal? Or just have her, just call her and tell her to meet you at dinner if she's going to be late. You know, they know that she's coming from, whether they knew or not that her father had died, they knew that she was visiting her father who was terminal and was on his deathbed. So if she's late, She's late. Who fucking cares? You're always late. Someone's always late. Black people, the Black People Night, Atlanta and this show, Black People Night, they're always fighting over lateness. Listen, we all accept Black people time because Atlanta has taught us about that. We understand what it is. We accept it. You guys need to accept it too and stop berating each other over being on color people time. You know what it is. It's a real thing. It happens. We forgive it. You guys need to forgive yourselves.
Well, I also just like the way that Brie acts like she, this is like Downton Abbey, okay? Like this is like this is some estate that needs to be respected. And she's like, we are well-established citizens of the community, and we just cannot have this happening. I'm like, you know what? If you don't want to ruin your standing in the Hamptons, don't invite a reality show onto your property. It's not Micah's fault that you allowed Bravo in. You know, the moment that you let Bravo in, you know, that's like letting in Beetlejuice, you know? Like, yeah. Don't do it.
Yeah, your parents are officially trash in that neighborhood now anyway. Yeah. And I love that she's like, you can't go in there. My parents are in there with friends. Okay, so your parents are having a dinner party, basically, and you guys are in the backyard filming because your parents won't even let you in the house. They're like, play, you know, you can play your theater games or whatever. Just do it in the backyard, honey. You know, yeah. They probably don't even know what the hell she's doing back there.
Yeah, and also, you know what, like, okay, so Micah might make a total fool of herself, but, like, let her go in there. She'll make a fool of herself. People, you know, people have seen drunk people before, you know, even though they're your parents, Brie, I guarantee they've seen someone wasted before and they will roll their eyes, I'm sure, and they'll laugh. You know what? There was one time, so my parents are, you know, they're refined folk, I guess you could say. And one time one of my friends got totally wasted in front of them, like totally wasted, falling over, like fell over into a wall, like a belly stand. And I was so embarrassed. I was like, oh my God, my parents are going to be like, Ben, who are these people you hang out with? I was so, so embarrassed. And then, so my friend sort of literally ricocheted from wall to wall and then went out of the room. And then my parents just started to laugh. And I was like, oh yeah, like my parents, like, you know, people, just because you don't like reality TV doesn't mean you can't hang with a drunk person. And it actually is now one of the funniest. Now it's one of the funniest stories that we have.
Yeah, alcoholism goes way, way back, and we can all deal with it. Okay.
Yeah.
But Micah was being fucking annoying.
She was.
If someone comes in raging drunk, that's not how you react. You don't tell them you're drunk and then make them feel like shit, because then they get emotional, and that's exactly what happened. They treated her like shit, and then the bigger girls. What are their names?
Demetria and Genevieve.
I still can't decide if I'm behind this show, so I'm not learning names.
Yeah.
But those two girls are like, do you want to go to the bathroom? I think I do. I do, too. Like, they're obviously being bitches.
Yeah, you know? Total bitches.
And then they're like, well, why is she mad? Just because we went to the bathroom. And they're like, I don't do this. I can't do this. I'm not this kind of person. Really, bitch? You can't?
Yeah.
I'm so sure.
I also love the way how fake Brie was. She's like, oh, honey, here. You know what? Can I just have a hug? I would really like it if I could have a hug. I just want a hug. And let you know that you're just great. You're just great. And then, like, Micah goes out to the backyard. She's like, get that fucking bitch out of here. Get a fucking taxi. Get her out of here.
And she's like, don't you accuse me of being a bad friend. I am a good friend. I've always been a good friend to you. I've always stood behind you. And then the second she leaves, she's like, I can't be friends with her. I've got to get rid of her. I mean, she's a wreck.
Listen, I know what it's like to have a friend who is just like a wasted disaster. And when they show up, you've been waiting for a while and they're wasted and you're just like annoyed. You're like, you know, fuck you. I've been waiting for you and you've been off getting drunk. I know that feeling. And it is very easy to be annoyed with them. But then, I don't know, there are better ways to handle it. You just got to know how to, like, handle
a drunk
person.
But those girls were going to be bitches no matter what.
Yeah.
If Micah came in completely sober, they were going to be bitches. If Micah came in crying, they were going to be bitches. Because, you know, she shouldn't be crying about a dad she didn't even have a relationship with and hated anyway.
Right.
And, you know, whatever happened, they were going to start some shit with Micah, and then Micah did exactly what they wanted and acted crazy. And so now they can say, well, she's psycho and we're not going to hang out with her anymore.
Yeah.
Like, well, guess what? The only, again, you know, as happens on all of these shows, the people who try and gang up on somebody, no one wants to watch you boring bitches. You have nothing to offer. Okay. People want to watch Micah. That's it.
And you know, what's funny is that going into this episode, I really liked Demetria, Genevieve and Brie, but, I don't know. They seemed immature, I think, in the way they handled the situation. Snotty and immature.
Yeah.
Although, of course, you could also say it was really obnoxious for Daisy to call up Bree and put her on speakerphone with Micah right there and be like, so, tell me about the weekend. And then, like, Bree goes off and rants about Micah, you know, without... It was a classic Jill Zarin, Ramona, Countess Luann thing, if you remember that.
Yeah, that was not cool, but it was awesome because at least Micah got to see Bree's true colors, who's like, I'm your real friend, and she's totally throwing her... I hate to say throwing her under the bus, but she was, you know, she was totally betraying her in every horrible way that she could. So, yay. But Micah, you know, on the other hand, Micah did show up wasted. She did act like a damn fool. Yes. And then even when she was sober, she wouldn't take any responsibility at all for it.
Yeah.
And that really bugs me because that's typical alcoholic behavior. Like,
yeah.
I'm not drunk. I can stop. Well, she did have the best line, though. I can drink if I want to. I can stop drinking if I want to. But you always going to look like Wesley Snipes.
It was honestly the best. It was the best night of the night. Best line of the night. And it's that says a lot because, you know, this is the same night that had Phaedra telling us, that's old news, slut. Please move on. Like, if you can top that line, then you have a fucking amazing line. And that's what Micah did.
I really hope Phaedra doesn't go to jail because she is hilarious.
I know. I love Phaedra. So, yeah, I think, I mean, pretty much all that happened in Blood, Sweat & Heels was just this fight. And then there was some stuff about Melissa Ford and these sad parties that she goes to, that she hosts. And then Daisy doing, I don't even know what Daisy did.
Daisy played with her fucking wig, put on lipstick that was the wrong shade, and then just giggled and drank someone else's wine like usual.
Yeah, it's the usual stuff. Either way, I love this show. I
waited for Oprah to get off work.
There's a, you know, we still have so much to talk about, so I don't want to.
Yeah, let's skip it. That's enough. We talked about it.
It's a great show. Everyone should still watch it. We got the good stuff there. Let's talk about Top Chef.
Top Chef. Okay, here's my theory on Top Chef finale.
Ronnie, why don't you tell everyone what happened first before you tell your theory?
Well, basically what happened was there was a front runner the whole season. She kicked ass. She won the most challenges maybe ever. Who knows? Because she won a shitload of challenges. And it gets to the end. She does two extra courses to just like... I knew she was screwed when she did that, by the way.
Two extra courses that were very well received.
Yes, but then two of her other courses, they both had issues with two courses, basically. And so the judges were like, oh my God, this is going to be a tie. It's going to be a tie. And they gave it to the loser, who's not only the biggest jerk of the season, but he's also kind of terrible and should have been kicked off a couple times already. It's not like this guy has had a good...
Yeah, so basically Nina lost to Nicholas, and Nicholas has been, for much of the season, he's been mediocre with a few good moments, a lot of bad moments. People have gone home because of him multiple times, and somehow he won this whole thing, and I was so furious, and I think everyone was furious with it.
Well, my theory is we saw a side of, well, we've seen a douchey side of Tom before. It's not like this is the first time, but he was on super douche mode this episode. I mean, that guy is so fucking full of himself at this point that he's out of control and he's a total douchebag. And I can see why he's always choosing douchebags, because it seems like at the end, he's the one with the final say, because everyone he wants always wins and they're always fucking douchebags. If you look down the line of people who have won this show, it's very, very rare that they haven't been a douchebag.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, and Nicholas is a perfect example of that. Although, you know, Marcel was a douchebag, and he lost out to Elon. But then again, Elon was a douchebag.
Elon was a bigger douchebag, and Marcel was way better than Elon. Marcel was way better, at least as far as wins and stuff like that. Yes, everybody was, but Elon was terrible. Like, Elon still talks about how hard it was winning because people hate him so much. Like, The guy was just terrible, you know, and he won, douchebag. So that's what started. No, who won the first year? Harold wasn't a douchebag.
And Harold was,
Elon was a douchebag.
Harold wasn't a douchebag, but he's a little cold.
He became a douchebag maybe later, but he seemed nice. Well, he was just like a big boring white guy. You know?
A lot of chefs are douchebags, though. Don't forget that, too.
that on these seasons there have been really talented people who weren't douchebags and they get beat by. Okay, so look, I've got the list in front of me. So Harold won over Tiffany, and Tiffany was a douchebag.
She was a douchebag.
But that was season one before they went crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, season two is where it really started.
Elon, yeah.
Elon beats Marcel. That was just fucked up.
Yeah.
And the next season was Miami, and Hung beat Dale.
Although Hung was really good.
Yeah, he was very talented. Kind of a douchebag.
He was,
but he was. You know what,
though? Hung was a douchebag, but I didn't mind his douchebaggery. I actually felt like he backed it up so well that I didn't mind. And I actually felt like he might have actually not been a douchebag, but maybe was being portrayed as one.
Okay, so far, one out of three we have being a douchebag.
Okay.
Okay, so then we have season four in Chicago when Stephanie won. Definitely not a douchebag.
No, not a douchebag.
And she actually beat Lisa Fernandez, who was a douchebag.
She was a huge douchebag, yeah.
So far, we only have one. So far, this is not working.
Your theory is terrible so far. Go on.
So season number five, Hosea won. Biggest douchebag.
He's a douche.
One of the biggest douchebags that's been on there. And he wore bacon shirts, which should get 2 points in the douchebag.
He was like a douchebag, but not like an asshole douchebag. He was a douchebag because he was like so lame.
And he beat Stefan.
And he had that awful goatee thing.
Hosea was a total douchebag. He was a total arrogant.
He was this. You know what? This is Nicholas winning is probably the worst one since Hosea won. Although there was that guy Kevin too. Go on.
Okay, so the next year was Las Vegas, and Michael Voltaggio won over Brian Voltaggio. So that's the good brother, right? That was the bad brother. Is he the dick brother?
Yeah, Michael Voltaggio is more like the asshole.
Okay,
very talented though, so you know.
But still a douchebag. We're just going to talk douchebags. And his brother, you could argue that his brother was equal or better. So that was a season where the douchebag beat a nice person.
Okay.
In Washington, D.C., season seven, Kevin won. Total douchebag.
Douche.
Okay, so I get a point for that.
He won over Ed, right?
Ed
should have won that season.
Yeah, Ed should have won. And was nice. Season eight, Richard Blaze, total douchebag. But, Richard Blaze. Okay.
Oh, the faux hawk. Yeah, that faux hawk.
Fucking douchebag. He wasn't the first season he was on, but he was definitely the second season.
You know what's funny? I thought he was more of a douchebag his first season. And the second season, I found him to be very endearing. Because you know what? Because he beat out Mike Isabella. And Mike Isabella was the douchebag. Not Richard Blaze.
Isabella was the biggest douchebag. So I won't give a point for that, even though I think Richard Blaze was a total douchebag. No, you know what? I'm going to give a point for that. Because he was a douchebag. And there was times that he should have gone home, but they didn't because they felt like he should have won the first time.
No, listen. If you're saying that a douchebag went out over a nice person, in the case of Richard Blaze and Mike Isabella, Richard Blaze beat out the bigger douchebag. So the next person.
Okay, I took the point off.
Okay, good.
Okay, San Antonio, Paul Kui.
Oh, he wasn't a douchebag. He was nice.
Remember that.
And he beat the girl, and the girl was a douchebag.
Okay.
She was
Seattle, Washington, Kristen beat Brooke. No, she wasn't a douchebag.
No, they both were nice.
And season 11, Nicholas.
Douche.
Okay, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 5 douches out of 11. That is almost 50% of Top Chef winners.
It's not.
That's a douche three.
It's not your strongest theory, okay? But I know what you're saying.
It's pretty strong. It's pretty strong.
If you had broken 50%, then maybe, but.
Oh, well, I would have if I got the Richard Blaze point, but whatever.
Could you work in some no, you can't work in Just Desserts or Masters. By the way, I want Just Desserts to come back.
No, they're all douchebags on Masters. Oh my god, Top Chef Desserts is the best. Now that's really, if you want to see gay people going off the rails, like in real life, don't watch Atlanta. Those are cartoon gays. The real gays are on Top Chef Desserts.
I know, and the problem with season two was that they had too many straight people. They needed to have, like, way more gays.
Gays are so real on that show, and crazy, like real gay people are, but...
Season one of Just Desserts was fabulous.
It really was. I love... Did they have 3 seasons of that, I think?
2.
I love that show.
And then Morgan from season one has since been arrested on pedophilia charges.
Yeah, child porn. So actual pedophilia or just child porn?
I don't know. Maybe kiddie porn. Anyway, the point is this. The finale, I was really upset. Nina should have won. I was, you know, it was bad enough that Shirley didn't make it in. If it had been like a Shirley versus Nina finale, fine, great. May the best woman win. I would have been happy for either one. But Nicholas... No.
Nicholas, if he was just good, it would be okay. It's like he's a douchebag, but at least he's good. But he's not. He's an asshole, and he sucks, and he has rosacea. I hate him.
I knew that Nina was going to be in trouble when she couldn't make her ice cream, and that she had to do like a backup thing. I was like, this is not going to be good. You know, desserts will always get you at the end.
Yeah. Well, on Watch What Happens, they were both on after, and I watched that one. And Nicholas is just, like, doing his, like, little kid thing where he's just kind of, like, hunching his shoulders and, like, aw shucksing, which is so fake. So he's doing that the whole time. And he made some comments like, well, you know, yeah, it was really hard. Like, when I was – they were expecting me to quit when that challenge went down and I had immunity and they were basically telling me to quit. So Tom calls in to that, coked out of his mind. I mean, he's talking like really fast and like doesn't shut up, and he's just like blah blah blah. And you know, this season of the thing about doing the show, and blah, blah, it's like no one's interviewing you, bitch. But he called to yell at Nicholas, which was hilarious.
What did he say?
And he's like, listen, Nicholas, nobody ever said you should quit. All right, we just have to go over every single option, and one of the options was that you would quit because you obviously made the worst dish. And, you know, there were some times in that thing where you just made awful, awful food. I mean, just terrible. And Nina, you know, through the whole competition was really strong. I mean, she was totally consistent. I think she only messed up like one time. And, you know, I mean, Nicholas, I mean, there were times Nicholas should definitely have gone home, and it was just disgusting. But at the end of the day, you know, it came down to that one meal, and, you know, we had to pick Nicholas because, you know, Nina messed up ice cream or whatever. And Nicholas was mortified, and he was so mad, and he kept like kind of like side rolling his eyes, like he couldn't believe that this shit was happening. It's like, just like, here's your crowning, and then the judge is going to call you a douchebag on national TV 20 times. Like, have fun.
Do you think the final judging should be just that meal?
Yeah, I do.
Why do you say that?
As much as I hate that, because I think Nina would have won if it wasn't. Because if not, then it would take any of the suspense away. I mean, Nina was the best, hands down, all season long. They would have just handed her the crown. But, you know, you have to do every single meal.
Yeah.
It has to be great.
But if
there, the last one.
There should be some way, in some capacity, that your past successes don't just get erased with every new episode. You know, I guess you could say, by virtue of moving forward, that shows that, you know, that's where your past successes take you.
Well, on The Taste, which I know you don't watch The Taste, but I'm obsessed, and I now watch The British Taste as well. But on those shows, well, not the Brit one, but the American version, they have stars. So the top three dishes get a gold star, and the bottom three dishes get a red star, and they have to put them on their aprons. So every week when they're standing there at judging, you see plainly who has like three stars or four stars, or, you know, like who the good people are and who the terrible people are. And it does matter when they do it, because they do an overall thing. So if someone had a terrible dish and is about to go home, but they have four gold stars, that's more than anybody else. So they're going to stay, you know, right. They're not going to send somebody good home over somebody terrible.
That's good. I like that.
So maybe something like that, or maybe at the end they could say, okay, before judging begins, who's been better all over the season, who's won the most, whatever, and then that person automatically gets 1 point, and then every other dish is worth a point or something.
Yeah, because they do that on Chopped, and they also do it on America's Next Top Model, where they just they look back, they take everything into consideration. They do it on Apprentice, you know,
Project Runway.
Yeah, exactly. They, you know, so even though, yeah, there may be a suspense issue, I think it's important to, if you're talking about Top Chef, you know, I think it's important to that where you've been and where you've come from somehow plays a role into it. It can't just be, if you just have an off night, then that's, I don't know, I just feel like it's not fair.
Yeah. Well, but it is what it is, and that show pisses me off all the time. That was nothing new, and I kind of knew it. I mean, like I said, I knew the second that she was like, I'm going to make five things just to show that I can. I was like, you're screwed. You're going down.
Yeah. For me, it wasn't the five things. For me, it was the dessert. I was like, uh-oh, dessert. This is the problem.
And that was super sad, but they also have guaranteed that they'll get her for their next All-Star season.
Absolutely.
And then they'll hand it to her, even if she sucks, just like they did Richard Blades.
Yeah. So let's talk about Shaza Sunset real quickly.
Okay, good. This will be fast because I couldn't.
I
watched like 3 to catch up last time. Uh-huh. So I saw the first episode of them in Turkey.
Yeah.
That I was supposed to feel like all emotional over and thought they were total retards in Turkey.
Yeah.
So after that, I was like, no. Unless they're going to wear burkas, I don't want to watch it.
You didn't watch last week?
No.
Oh.
I will watch the finale tomorrow. But tell me what happened. Tell me what happened.
It was good. It was actually a very emotional episode. I actually thought it was.
But I'm glad I didn't watch it. I'm not going to feel for those people. They're all horrible.
I don't know. Like I feel that way too. But then I admit I got choked up. You know why? Because what's his face? Reza and Asa and Asa's mom. They went to a border town, and they were pretty much like as close to Iran as they could get. You could see the towers, the snipers, everything. And I don't know, like, you just, as awful as 2 out of 3 of them can be, you can't deny the fact that it's a very powerful thing, that you can't go, that they can't go back to where they're from, to where their home is, that they can't visit relatives, but especially for the mother who spent so much of her life there, the mother who
like I said last week, the old people, yes, I feel for them, because they didn't do anything wrong. They've done nothing but good, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, during it, Reza was making all sorts of stupid commentary, being like, all this anger that I had for all these years, it just, like, it went away. I, like, released it, and I felt like it went away. I was like, okay, whatever, I don't care. But I think it was more just the mother seeing her and seeing, you know, they were crying, and I thought it was very touching. I thought it was out of character for this show to be thoughtful, and I thought it was a beautiful sequence, and it was surprisingly emotional. And then there was a segment where MJ kind of had a Freudian slip, and she revealed that she really wants to have kids, and that she's, you know, she got very emotional because she realized that ship has probably sailed. And I don't know, there was something sort of very honest about that moment that made me feel for her. I don't know.
Whatever. MJ is going to be one of those girls who poops out a baby in the bathroom. It's like, I didn't even know I was pregnant.
There's one in each of her breasts. So tonight, by the time this podcast is published, the season finale will have already aired. And I'm excited for it only because I keep seeing these commercials where Reza says, will you marry me? Will you be my husband?
Oh, God. You let me cheat on you and treat everybody like crap around us and make an ass out of myself all the time? I think I can stay with you. You want to get married?
You want to get married?
Ugh, gross. Okay.
You want to get married? It's a very
special thing. Anyway, it's a perfect way to kick off Valentine's Day weekend is to watch Reza's romantic moment with his boyfriend. And you know what you should do? You should maybe buy some Shari's berries and enjoy a Shari's berry while you watch the Shaza Sunset.
Yeah, and don't forget to use the code.
Watch. Ronnie and I made a deal that every time we say our code, we're going to sing it. We also said we're going to sing Shari's berries every time, but that was too hard.
That comes up too much.
Yeah. But we can always sing the promo code, which is watch.
Yeah, we'll have to ask for a longer one next time so we can have like a little song. Like, can we have a 5-word code this time?
Yeah. Watch what crappens. Okay. Let's wrap this up. Thank you everyone for listening to this super long podcast. You can find Ronnie and all his terrific recaps at TrashTalkTV.com. Be sure to go read his Beverly Hills recaps and then post them on Facebook and share them with all your friends.
Yeah, thanks. And come to the site this week and watch my Olympics in 3 minutes video because no one's watching it and it makes me sad.
Yeah, everyone do that. Ronnie is at TrashTweetTV and he's also on Instagram at TrashTalkTV, I think.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm on Instagram at BsideBlog, and I'm on Twitter at BsideBlog, and I'm on Vine at BsideBlog, although I haven't done Vine in a while. Pretty much any social media network, you enter in BsideBlog, there I am, including Tumblr.
You will appear.
I will appear like a genie. So remember also, please follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. We have like over 2,000 likes, 2,200, something like that. We need to get to at least a 3,000. We need to become a juggernaut. So like us there. It's really fun. A lot of people post a lot of fun things. There's constant discussion. People post pictures, links, way more content. If you want to dig deeper than this podcast, go to that page. You don't have to even bother with following blogs because all the links are right there. So, anyway, fun times. Thanks for listening, everyone.
And yeah, thanks, you guys.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Bye, lovers.
Bye-bye.
To the insurance company that did me wrong. I've moved on and I'm happily insured with another. Bless your pea-picking heart. It was just never meant to be betwixt us. You gave me automobile insurance apprehension. And GEICO has come along and in just 15 minutes given me new car insurance and made me as jubilant as a newborn lamb in springtime. And Paul has given GEICO his approval. That's one thing you never had. Joyful with another. Clara May in Columbia.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.